Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Welcome to today's episode of Relatable Finance. I'm your co-host, Joseph Carl, Chief Investment Strategist with Provenance Wealth Advisors, located here in sunny South Florida. We normally discuss personal finance and economics here on Relatable Finance, but we are in unique circumstances and we thought it would be insightful to have a more detailed discussion on a specific area. The coronavirus has impacted us all in different ways, but few areas have been impacted more than the travel and tourism industry. For perspective, tourism in the United States generates approximately $1.1 trillion in revenue, accounts for roughly 10.4% of the U.S. economy, and supports 9 million jobs. As one can imagine, the tourism industry has a big impact on our local economy here in Fort Lauderdale and South Florida in general. To help give us perspective, we are honored to have an incredible guest and expert in this area, Stacy Ritter, President and CEO of the Greater Fort Lauderdale Convention and Visitors Bureau, former member of the Florida House of Representatives, and former Broward County Commissioner. Thank you, Stacy, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So to start off, Stacy, would you mind giving us a little background on the Greater Fort Lauderdale Convention and Visitors Bureau and what aspects of local industry the organization is involved?
Sure. The GFL-CVB, the Greater Fort Lauderdale Convention and Visitors Bureau, was formed in 1987 and is funded by a portion of the tourist development tax on lodging. So that includes hotels, short-term rentals, vacation, campgrounds, Airbnb, anything for 6 months or less. You'll hear it called the bed tax, hotel tax. It's all the same thing. The CVB is entirely funded through this tax, which is paid by visitors and not the county general fund. That means residents paying taxes do not fund the Tourism Bureau unless they are staying in a hotel here in Broward County, and then they are paying a 6% tax on the room. The primary focus of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, CVB for short, is to create and manage the marketing of Greater Fort Lauderdale, which is all of Broward County, as a visitor destination for leisure vacations as well as business travel. There is nothing greater than destination marketing when it comes to tourism. In the travel marketplace, if you don't have a strong, consistent, and compelling message out there, you're gonna get lost. So we know this through research. I mean, Coca-Cola doesn't stop advertising even though everybody knows what Coca-Cola is. So we do the same thing. And we know that because of what we do, we have a very positive economic impact on the 1.9 million people who live in Broward County.
Great. Prior to the onset of the virus, what were the major events or projects you and your team were working on? What was the outlook for 2020?
We had a very bright outlook for 2020. We were in the process of rebranding the destination. For many, many years, we've been known as Hello Sunny, and it had its day, but since the inception of that, we've become a much larger population-wise and increasingly diverse county. So we started to work on our branding assets that better reflect who and what we are. I wanted to show that, you know, we are a melting pot of people here in Broward County. So we do that by marketing all 31 cities. There are 31 cities in Broward County. Our mission is to make sure we market all of those. We were doing some really cool things. We had artists fly in from the UK to paint murals, and then we would fly them back, and we would send one of our artists over there to paint a mural. We did some really cool stuff. Our job is to make sure people know what the hidden gems in Broward County are, the places that we like to go to as residents, and we really don't want tourists to know, but we tell them anyway because it generates positive economic impact for us. We had the $1 billion convention center expansion underway. And so we had shifted some of our sales marketing dollars to better market and promote what will be a new and expanded convention center at the end of October in 21. And we had 10 years of solid growth in the travel industry through 2018. In 2019, we began to see a little bit of a slowdown in travel for a variety of reasons. The strong US dollar made it more difficult for people overseas to travel here, trade tensions, continual fear of an economic slowdown, even though there was no pandemic yet, people were less confident than they had been. And there are geopolitical tensions that will always impact travel. So a few of the reasons why we had a slowdown in 2019 was that we had Hurricane Dorian in September, and that threat tends to dampen people's enthusiasm for a destination for a while. Parts of the Caribbean and other parts of Florida, which had experienced hurricanes Irma and Maria, started to come back online. And so our competitors were up and running once again. The airport, Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport, had a resurfacing on the south runway, which resulted in a reduction of flights on a daily basis. two ships at Port Everglades were repositioned. So we had a slightly smaller inventory of cruise ships that were coming in, but we still finished 2019 with a 4% increase in cruise passengers. And we saw a 40% increase in people using short-term vacation rentals, Airbnb, VRBO, and the like. So because of that, you see increased visitation, you see increased visitor spending, although it doesn't impact the hotel occupancy rate because it's not counted as a hotel room. We had a hotel market supply that was growing 3%, adding 1,200 more rooms here in Broward County. So in 2019, what we were seeing was a flattening of tourism, but still a 1-2% positive growth. That's what we were seeing.
Great. Well, lots of great things going on here. Lots of hidden gems in Broward County to share. Wonderful things to attract people here. But kind of going back to March of this year, and as the implications of the coronavirus became more and more apparent, how did things evolve here locally?
March was probably the worst month that I've experienced in my 30 years of working. We finished 2019 really, really strong, and we were rolling into 2020 it was gangbusters. We were breaking records in January and February of 2020. For the first 2 months of 2020, we had 24 days of hotel occupancy or 90% or more on the beach in Fort Lauderdale. That's 40% of the time. And in comparison to that time last year, there were only 13 days of 90% or more occupancy. We were up 15% in January in collection of the tourist development tax over January of last year, up 6.5% in February of this year over February of last year. And then we came to March, and March was like falling off a cliff. On March 14th, the CDC issued a no sail order, so cruise ships shut down. On March 15th, Fort Lauderdale Beach closed, and there were restrictions on restaurants. The following week, restaurants were closed for indoor dining. County government employees and many, many others were working from home for the very first time ever. We worked closely with the Florida National Guard and some other medical personnel to house them in Greater Fort Lauderdale hotels, but we saw hotel occupancy hit a low of 21% in March. So we went from experiencing 90% occupancy in average in January and February, which is one end of the extreme, to 21% in April. So it's been 2020's been a year to forget. And it's only August, but we've seen both sides of the extremes here.
Been a interesting year. For certain things looked great across the board to start the year, and then time stopped for all of us. Can you give us an idea of where things look at the moment in Fort Lauderdale and Broward County compared to, example, where we were at the beginning of the year or where we would have been in August this time had coronavirus not come?
We went from $41.3 million in tourist development tax revenue in the last week of February to $3.8 million per month by mid-April. So we had a reduction of 91% in the collection of the tax in April, a reduction of 84% of the tax in May. And the good news is that we were only down 50% in June. So I never thought that I would say the good news is we were only 50% down, but we were only 50% down. 70% of people working in hospitality got their jobs back in June here in Broward County. Not all of them are working in the same way. Some may be part-time, and they may have taken salary cuts even if they are full-time employees. But at least people are starting to go back to work. But the bad news is we lost 28,000 jobs in June that we had not lost in June of last year. Passenger traffic on the airport is down 44%. Cruise passenger traffic is down 45% from this time last year. And as cruise lines push back their sail dates further and further into the year, we expect that will have a much larger impact as we go forward. The good news is that for us, May to October is not really sailing season. It's much, much slower at Port Everglades. We usually only have two ships in port between May and October. So if there is good news, that is it. But of course, we don't know when cruise ships are going to come back online. So that will continue to impact our numbers. We were going to forecast 3,500 new rooms coming in the market in 2020 and 2021. That's down to 2,300 rooms over the next 2 years. Construction has slowed. Fortunately, it hasn't stopped. So that's a very positive thing. It keeps people working. And there'll be new hotel rooms coming online as we go through the year and next year as well. We do have a new hotel that opened just last month, the Hyatt Centric on Los Olas Boulevard, and we'd like to thank our friends at Hyatt for keeping that on track and opening up. So the numbers, and I'm not a numbers person, so this is unusual for me to say this, but occupancy is down 35% from this time last year. The average daily rate is down 17%, and hotel revenue is down 36% from this time last year. You know, it's funny. I started this job a little over 4 years ago, and I've lived in Broward County since 1974. And I thought, oh, my dream job! I get to sell the place I call home, the place where I've raised my children. And I went from being the queen of sunshine and happiness to a harbinger of doom. But you know, it is what it is.
Yes. Well, you're doing a great job, and thank you for everything.
Thank you.
This is a wonderful place, and this is unfortunately an event that. It's impacted everyone in different ways. So it's been a challenging environment for sure. I referenced some statistics earlier on how significant tourism industry is for the national economy. Can you give us some idea on how big the impact is here for our local economy in Fort Lauderdale and Broward County?
Sure. In 2018, visitors spent $6.3 billion with a B dollars here in Broward County. $2 billion of that was hotel revenue. When we look at the impact of visitors to Greater Fort Lauderdale, Visit Florida estimates an $8.8 billion impact here in Broward County from visitors. And that includes direct and indirect spending. So direct spending would be a hotel, indirect spending would be retail or a restaurant. And what I think that, as I said, I've lived here a really long time. And I live in Fort Lauderdale now, but I lived in West Broward for most of that time that I've been here. And I don't think that there's a whole lot of thought that goes into tourism when you live in West Broward and you don't see it on an everyday basis. But the fact of the matter is that prior to the pandemic, 180,000 people here in Broward County, 10% of our population, were employed directly or indirectly by tourism. That's a big part of our working population. So I guess when people complain about having tourists here, we should pause a moment and remember that it's because of them that we have such a thriving economy here in Broward County. Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. I'm originally from Ohio, a little town, Dayton, Ohio.
I used to live in Dayton.
Oh, you did?
When I was a little girl.
Yeah, well, there's a lot less tourism going on in Dayton, Ohio, to put it that way.
They don't have an ocean.
Got some rivers. But has there been any initiatives here locally to try and promote growth or to help the industry recover as quick as possible?
When restaurants shut down in March and they were only available for takeout, we started to gather all the information that we could on which restaurants were still open for takeaway, which ones were doing delivery, and put that information on our website, which is sunny.org. We also started to promote those restaurants that were selling, were becoming marketplaces and were selling fresh vegetables or meats or even toilet paper. Remember back in March and April how hard it was to find toilet paper? So we heavily promoted that both on our website, as I said, and through social media, especially on Facebook and Instagram stories. In normal times, which is everything else except for this year, I think, we always offer hotels and attraction and restaurant deals during the summer months. This year we call it Lauder Deals, but we don't usually start it until September, which is or even August. Some months we've started restaurant month in August because it's a traditionally slower time here for tourism. You need to help the local businesses to keep them afloat until season starts. This year we started our Lauder Deals program in June. We started Dine Out Lauderdale in July, which is 30 to 60 days sooner than we had done in the past. We might even extend that deeper into the fall if the local businesses are telling us that they need to continue for us to promote those deals for them. All the deals are available on sunny.org. There's a link. And if you are a resident of Broward County and you feel like you just got to get out, there's no better place than to take a staycation and stay at a hotel for two or three nights here. All of them have upped their sanitation protocols. Many of them have taken Visit Lauderdale's Clean and Safe Pledge. That is a program that we put together, which asks restaurants, attractions, retail, hotels to follow CDC guidelines. And they get a poster that they can put in their window or their hotel to show that they've taken the Safe and Clean Pledge, which gives your guest an added layer of protection when they're going away. It's voluntary. We have over 275 businesses in Broward who have taken the pledge. You don't have to be in tourism. One of my favorite stories is to tell everyone that two men in a truck have taken the Clean and Safe Pledge, and that's a moving company. So you don't have to be in tourism, but it, again, it just lets the public know that you are taking this seriously, and there's an added layer of protection for your client or your customer.
Obviously, the answer to this next question will depend on where we are with containing the virus, which we all know there is some certainty with that. But this is Fort Lauderdale and Broward County. So many amazing things to track people here. How quickly do you see activity here locally recovering back to where it was?
Well, we were starting to see some improvement in June. The first couple of weeks in June, we kicked off our recovery plan. We saw the recovery on the horizon, and we had everything in place to make that happen. And then mid-June came around, and visitation, again, just slowed to a trickle. And it's not just happening here. It's happening all across the country. I think one of the comforting things, if you can even couch it in those terms, is to know that we are all in this together, the entire world. This isn't like a hurricane, which impacts just us and everyone else is doing fine. So there is some comfort in knowing that we are all in this together. The tourism industry has taken a hit all across the globe. But there are signs that people want to travel and that they're thinking about where they're going. So we had a recent survey by a company called Destination Analysts, surveyed people who said they were going to travel in 2020, and more than a quarter said that they wanted to go away, but they didn't know where they were going. So that is an entire group of people that we can connect with here in Greater Fort Lauderdale who are going to want safe, clean, welcoming, diverse, open spaces where you can go on the beach and not feel that you're crowded, where you can walk around and not feel that you're crowded. We also know that in that same survey, 35% of respondents said they're more likely than not to take a fall vacation if their kids don't go back to school in this month or next month. And that's a great opportunity for people with families to come and experience the Everglades, Florida, and as it used to be, Birch State Park, or snorkel along our 23 miles of Blue Wave beaches. So there's lots to do here, and we will slowly re-enter the market as conditions allow us to.
Yes. Don't be shy to come down here and visit us in Fort Lauderdale and Broward. One of the things that really struck out for me as I was doing some research for our discussion today was the multiplier impact that tourism has on job growth and local economies. Said another way, a dollar spent on tourism typically leads to more economic activity than a dollar spent in other areas. I'm sure this is something that you and your team try to promote and capitalize on. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Sure, thanks. About 8% of Broward County jobs come from hospitality that are supported by visitor spending. So if you think about it, we're a considerable source of income for the people who live here in jobs and in money spent by visitors. There are some presentations that liken it to an iceberg. So the tip of the iceberg you see are the wages directly paid to the workers in the hotels, the attractions, the restaurants, and other tourism workers. It's what you immediately see. But what you don't see is how that money translates and ripples throughout your community. So these people who are getting their wages through tourism and their families, they pay their rent, they pay their mortgage, gas, groceries, other services, childcare, they go to restaurants, giving to churches, temples, and other nonprofits. It's a ripple effect. And what has happened with tourism almost grinding to a halt here is that the ripples in that pond, the iceberg, the part of the iceberg that you don't see, has really shrunk. And it impacts the community far more than many people actually see. Restaurants are struggling, not just because they are at 50% capacity and their hours are regulated. It's because people don't have the money to go to restaurants. We will see, unfortunately, if something isn't done in Congress, we're going to see foreclosures, people being evicted. That will generate a whole host of social problems that we don't currently see here in Greater Fort Lauderdale, Broward County, and around the country. So this has an effect that unfortunately feels like a snowball, and it's getting harder and harder to hold it back.
Absolutely. As we kind of come to the end of the recent stimulus measures, it's really important for us to extend those. So hopefully we get some really positive news in the next week or so from Congress. Looking out into the future, are there some initiatives, projects, venues in Fort Lauderdale and Broward that you can share with us coming down?
Yes, and it's nice to share some good news because there is some good news. There's always a silver lining to whatever cloud it is. We've got some new hotels coming online. We've got the Hotel Marin, which is on Fort Lauderdale Beach, which is part of the Hilton Curio Collection. It'll be the first Curio Hilton in Fort Lauderdale, and it's scheduled to open in December. The Pier 66 Hotel, where many of us spent our senior proms, if you grew up here, is underway. It's closed currently, completely shut down by 2022. The iconic tower, which we're all familiar with if we live here, will be restored, and there'll be waterfront area for dining and shopping. And as I said, the convention center expansion and hotel project continues. The westward expansion, which will allow for much larger trade shows, conferences, and conventions when it's open, will reopen in October of 2021 in time for the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show. So, and there is some positive economic news out there. It's that travelers are feeling more confident about traveling in the near future. There are surveys that suggest that despite the worsening economy, only 16% of travelers will not travel because of economic conditions. That's actually the low it's been in 17 weeks since the pandemic. There was a high of 25% back in April where people were not going to travel because of economic conditions, but that has steadily declined, which is a very positive sign once people are ready to get out there and travel. And studies suggest that more people are getting out there and are ready to travel. Here in Broward County, we have to maintain social distancing, wear masks, wash our hands, because if we do not control the number of infections, and the positive rate has come down significantly in the last 2 weeks, if that message can get out there, then people will start to come back to Greater Fort Lauderdale to visit. And then we'll see people go back to work. We'll see restaurants once again full. We'll see the beach. Once again, hotels will start to fill. We will be able to generate that hotel tax, which keeps the mission of the CVB going, which is to promote and market the destination. Every destination is experiencing these problems, many worse than we are. New York has seen a 75% decline in its revenue. San Francisco has seen that a comparative number. If you're in a large city, it's gonna be harder to recover, because people are gonna wanna go where they can hang out outside, and you can do that here year round. And we know that when the time comes, and it's coming sooner rather than later, that we'll be able to market and promote this destination for those who want to experience the outdoors and still get away.
Many great things here in Fort Lauderdale and Broward County. So please don't be shy, come visit us. Stacy, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing these amazing insights. The last few months have been challenging for all of us. And unfortunately, given the restrictions put in place to prevent the virus from spreading, some industries have been disproportionately impacted. While these are challenging times, great times do lie ahead. Fort Lauderdale and Broward County have so many great things to offer, and I know with Stacy's leadership, tourism here in Fort Lauderdale and Broward County have a really bright future. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Relatable Finance. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to us at podcast@provwealth.com and follow us on Twitter @financepodcast.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Provenance Wealth Advisors and Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision. It does not constitute a recommendation. Investment involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Future investment performance cannot be guaranteed, and investment yields will fluctuate with market conditions. Any examples given in the podcast are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary.